Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Ladies and gentlemen, the popcorn's in the lobby, and the nuts are on the screen. You wanted it, you got it. Cannonball Run 2. And this time, there's no limit. Burt Reynolds, Dom DeLuise.
What a team.
Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Jamie Farr, Mary Lou Henner, Telly Savalas, and Shirley MacLaine. At last comes the motion picture from the greatest book of traffic citations ever written. Cannonball Run 2.
Hello and welcome to Smersh Pod 3, the podcast that lights the fire of 80s action movies and celebrates the decade where the explosion was king. This week we'll be on the road again, from sea to shining sea, in search of that elusive Cannonball Run 2. There'll be stunts, shunts, fronts, hunts and cunts, as well as some very far-fetched extras. Joining me to be my hairy co-pilot is comedian, actor, and medium, Paul Litchfield, back again.
Oh, hello again.
Hello.
Thank you for having me again.
Thanks for coming back again.
You're welcome again.
Again. So,
you started right off with severe swearing.
I couldn't help it.
Wow.
I was cross.
You were really cross.
Really cross.
Oh, okay.
Because they've taken my beautiful Cannonball Run and they've made it into this.
Those goddamn dirty apes. Yeah, they ruined it, didn't they?
You blew
Actually, no,
it
they
up.
Didn't. I'll tell you what they did. They didn't. No, no. Well, they did ruin it. What they did is they made the exact same film almost again.
Yeah.
They literally rubbed out the script and then went, well, Roger Moore's not in it, so we'll replace him with this character. And then said, so we'll just do it again, lads. Mm-hmm. We'll end with a fight. And that's the end of that. And there's a Cannonball Run 3, is that right?
Yeah.
Starring John Candy?
John Candy, yeah. Cannonball Fever, it was called. Cannibal or Speed Fever. Zone, you might have seen it as.
And we're not going to cover that one, are we?
No.
Even we will draw the line.
No, it has to be Burt and Dom.
It does,
what's
it?
The point? Yeah, the third one's got, like, John Candy and Eugene Levy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are there any of the originals in it?
I don't think so.
At all?
I don't know. I'm not
even,
sure.
Not even the Sheik?
No, yeah, the Sheik's in it.
Of course.
Yeah. Because he needs work. Was this Jamie Farr?
Jamie Farr, yeah.
Yeah, from MASH.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Do you know what? He's all right in it.
I think he's one of the best things in these films.
Yeah, well...
No. That's a lie. But he's very good at his character.
Yeah, because they're so... You know, I think when we talked about the first one, because I mentioned at the beginning, it is like a sort of... UN film where every single race gets lampooned equally.
Mind your language.
Essentially. Yeah. And this film, again, is once more the same. If anyone's on, they have a piece of music that represents them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bit with a Jewish lady where they even go...
And it's Roger Moore's mum from the first one, which is really confusing.
Which is bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah, really bizarre. And so every character is so one-dimensional.
Yeah.
But all they've got is just endless feed gag lines, and they're not as good quality in this film, I think.
No, what's missing from this film
is
Foyt.
Foyt, and to be honest, not enough bloody Elam.
No, there's not, is there?
Not enough Elam.
No.
He's pretty much background in this, which is a real shame. But I still think, and we'll cover this later, I think he has the best line in the entire film.
Oh, good.
Again.
Oh, yeah,
again.
Yeah. But we start with the Sheik's dad, who's played by Ricardo Montalban.
Come on! Yeah. Brilliant.
So you've got an American fella playing a Sheik, and Ricardo Montalban was a Colombian, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Playing a Sheik.
Yeah.
I suppose if you had Bianca Jagger in the first one playing a sheik, it's fine.
And I like to think he found the script a bit like Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan. It was in some sand and it was dangerous.
HMS.
Not quite domesticated.
HMS Bounty.
Oh, no. Cannonball Run 2? Oh, no. Get away.
He actually got it in one of those worms that they put in his ear.
It's an earworm.
Earworm.
Earworm. Yeah. There you go. And, of course, the family are called the Falafel Family.
The Falafel.
Which is... Do you know what? I laughed.
Yeah.
I did laugh. It was really stupid.
Yeah.
Delivered so po-faced. The Falafel Family.
And he's got Doug McClure as a servant.
Doug McClure.
Who hasn't worked for 9 years, he says.
Who he won't... So, you know, for those who never intend to watch it, and I salute you now, Doug McClure takes the beatings on behalf of the Sheik throughout the entire film, and then he always goes, what was it, 1,000 thanks.
1,000 thanks.
And then gets hit again and goes, 2,000 thanks.
Yeah.
But again, as a really tiny row, that's all he does.
I don't understand why he's in it and why he was written.
I don't understand why any of them are in it.
There's a good bit where the Sheik gets a gun put to his head. And he says, "How dare you put a gun to my head?" And he clicks his fingers and they put it to Doug McClure's head.
Doug McClure's fine with it. His job is to be insulted, punched and or die. It's brilliant. But yeah, the Falafel Family, I just absolutely love it.
But he says, "You failed, you dishonoured our family by losing the Cannonball Run.
Yeah.
So you must win this year."
But also before that, he says that, as you know, we made all our money in... And it seems like he's embarrassed to say the word oil.
Yeah.
So he goes, "We made all our money in..." Blah, 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 and does like a bubbling sound while pointing to the ground.
And he also pokes him in the nose.
He moves him via his nose.
And the sound effect goes...
"I order you back to America to win the Cannonball Run. I give you one last chance because you are my only son with a driver's license."
Which reminds me of, have you ever seen What's New Pussycat? There's an amazing scene where Woody Allen takes an egg off a painting easel because it's the only bit of food. And when he takes it off, the sound effect is of a frog croaking. And I don't know why it makes me laugh. So basically he grabs it and he goes, meep, meep. And it just floors me every time. And this was another one of sound effects that don't quite match.
Yeah.
But the fact that he moves Jamie Farr via his nose. Oh, God.
But he says there's no Cannonball Run this year.
No.
So he says, "Buy one."
Which is fine as a plot device.
Yeah.
Fine as a plot device. This is when the plot immediately stops making sense because it's all about trying to have £1 million, and then you've got Don, who we'll talk about later, wanting to find £1 million, and yet the Sheik just shits money everywhere he goes and gives people millions of pounds for no other reason than they have big booby-doos or whatever reason he has.
Nice potatoes.
Nice potatoes, as Bert would say.
Yeah.
So at any point, they should have just gone up to the Sheik and gone, "Can I have some cash?" And they would have gone, "Yes, have this and buy a camel with the bigger tits." And that would have been the end of the film, I suppose, which is a shame. Because at least Cannonball Run had one good thing going for it. There was no plot.
Mm.
It was just a race, that was it. This film suffers because they try and introduce a plot to it.
Which is
Jeopardy, which doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And that's why the race doesn't start until 36 minutes into the film.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I was counting it. Like, come on, start the race.
I bet in the first one it's about 15 minutes.
About 15 tops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we see the same sort of beginning as we get in the first one, the Lamborghini ladies.
White
Lambo.
But
they've replaced the... Lamborghini ladies. It's not Adrienne Barbeau and the other one anymore.
But it's her, isn't that Daisy Duke?
From, yeah.
Yeah, it is Daisy Duke. And they're in a white Lambo, which sounds to me like a racist wrestler. But there's a really good bit in this because they're being chased by cops. So, by the way, in this bit, the cops notice the white Lambo and all they care about is the fact that it... And there's two hot chicks inside!
A couple of great-looking chicks.
Great-looking chicks! And then that's the other all one goes, they talk about.
Let's nail them.
Yeah, disgusting.
And they start chasing them.
But our ladies, clever ladies, they pull into a little garage and they get their white Lambo sprayed just with water, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Not because the Lambo's hot, because it's in disguise, ladies and gentlemen. Mm. It's almost like a Klingon bird of prey. It's been cloaking. And the water reveals that it's a red Lambo. That's a really good switch.
But it makes no sense, because immediately then they start...
Because they go, oh, the white Lambo's gone, but there's a red Lambo with the same fucking license plate.
Hot-looking chicks.
With the same two hot-looking chicks. Who do we look for?
Mm.
Well, it's pretty obvious when you put two and two together. But I kind of like that as a funny idea.
But while this is going on, we get the opening credits where it says, you know, Burt Reynolds.
Dom Fantastic. Lewis. And the great theme.
And the great theme, again, from the first one. Yeah. The cannonball.
Cannonball!
Cannonball!
And you got the ladies go, yeah, all the way through it.
Dun, dun, ooh. Dun. I had to pause it because the best credit in this title says Bobby Mussolini's orangutan.
Oh, dearie me. Now, obviously, we'll get to the orangutan in a moment because you have a very fractious relationship with this orangutan, don't you, John?
I do.
Especially on social media.
Social media, yeah. We'll get to him.
We will get to him.
But after the shock of seeing the Bobby Mussolini's orangutan, we then go to the 5th annual America Stunt Show.
We do.
Where Dom is inside a human bomb. Now, there's something odd here, I noticed, right? Bert has... At the beginning here, his moustache is trimmed.
Right.
And it looks weird. It's almost like a pencil moustache.
So, when was this filmed?
1984. So probably filmed 83.
So, I wonder what he... Maybe he just come off the set of something else.
I think it's City Heat.
Ah, there you go.
That Clint Eastwood
film. So that could explain it.
I might be wrong.
Yeah.
But he's got a weird moustache. And I noticed that... You know that... we're jumping ahead, but we're going to come back. When they meet Sinatra, when Burt Reynolds walks in, my mind instantly went, that's Burt.
Right.
And I realised it's because he's got the full moustache again. So I'm wondering if this was, like, reshot
Definitely wasn't that eagle-eyed. Oh, do you reckon that... What, do you think at any point they retook any of it?
I think they might have done, because there's moustache continuity issues in this. It's some scenes he looks like Bert, some he doesn't.
Sometimes Dom DeLuise's too.
I think Bert's had a facelift in this as well, because there's some scenes where he turns around. When he turns around sometimes, you can see a little pinch on the sides of his face.
Blimey.
Anyway... Wow. So Dom's in the human bomb.
Yeah.
And they're now working for a company called JJ's Daredevil Stunts. Because why not?
And the stunt is just so ridiculous. Yeah. Get inside a tin can and get dropped. That's the stunt.
By a German pilot.
By a mad neo-Nazi.
It's the guy from Laughing, isn't
it? Yes, it is, yeah.
I can't remember his name. It's the one who's not as good as Henry
Gibson.
Really
interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's obviously, it's his one trick. In this, he's going, Deutschland, Deutschland, nobody
else. It's fine. It's the equivalent, if we were doing it in England, of the guy used to pretend to be the chicken. He would be the... What was he called again? But it would be him, wouldn't it? And his thing would be, he'd fly a plane, and every time he spoke to me, he'd just go... You know? Or the guy used to pretend that the microphone didn't work.
Norman Collier.
It could easily have been Norman Collier.
Why didn't we do a British cannonball run in the 80s?
I think we could cast that.
Because it could have been the cannonball run.
Oh, wow. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that fits perfectly.
It really does.
Bobby Ball is him.
Yeah.
With his braces.
Well, see, we've already pitched a better film than this one.
Brilliant.
That would have been a franchise.
Yeah. That's a shame.
Anyway, JJ is talking Victor into staying inside the bomb because he doesn't want to go, he's scared.
Yeah.
And he says, don't worry, there's hay, there's loads of hay.
The hay will break your fall.
But when he goes to the camera crew who are filming it, the guy doing the announcing.
Bert overhears, doesn't he?
Yeah, he says, whoever does this stunt will be very popular with women.
So he immediately changes his mind because he wants to have some sexual encounters.
But when he gets back to the human bomb... Victor's turned into...
Him.
Captain Chaos.
Yeah. JJ!
Hi, Captain.
Also, in this scene, which I love, again, I think I might have touched on this the first time we talked about Cannibal Run. It reminds me occasionally of, like, Richard Lester films. They let Dom and Bert just do their natural laughs and occasionally... So in between just natural dialogue, there's just... Because Bert's got this the most unmanly laugh ever. Yeah. Yeah. It's like someone... And Dom's got a wheezy... So in between chatting, they're just laughing.
Yeah.
So, and I really like, I think the beginning of the film is fun.
Mm.
Because they're just fast and loose and enjoying themselves. And also, you can tell they're mates.
Mm.
And they're just having a giggle, even though they know the film's crap. I don't think they care.
They're
just having a right old laugh together.
I suspect they probably thought the first one was crap. But they probably thought this one was fucking awful. But as you say, it's just a chance to get together with your mates and have a laugh.
Exactly. So they're laughing their heads off.
Mm.
And then so they decide that they'll switch. Because Bert decides he will be the Steve. Get inside and basically sort of ripped out. You know, missile.
Yeah.
And then he gets dropped by not Norman Collier.
Yeah. The chicken man.
Chicken man. Which it would have been in our British casting.
In the Cannonball.
It definitely
run.
Would have been him. Because we've already got a bit later on the good old boys and we've got the American version of Jack Douglas. Get off.
Freddie Starr would have been in this as well.
Oh, God, no. Freddie Starr would have been
in. No, we're not going to put Freddie Starr in this. He can fuck off.
No, all right.
Russ Abbott.
Abbott can definitely be in there.
Abbott would be the actually Norman Collier would be the man who is with
he could be
Tony Danza.
Oh, that's true.
Because he's basically the American Norman Collier, isn't he? Because he goes,
you're
getting
the... Yeah, no, you're right.
Actually, no, you're right, Jack Douglas.
I prefer Jack Douglas.
Yeah.
Just for the... Get off. Especially with the monkey attacking him. For each day, get off.
We were robbed of never seeing Jack Douglas with a monkey.
And the monkey could be played by Keith Harris because he's got a bloody monkey.
Oh, my God, you're
it's
right.
It's all there. It's all there.
Cuddles.
Cuddles can do it.
That
fucking race. Come on, it's all there.
We're making a better film with the cannon and ball.
This is already better, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh my God, you can have them all in it.
I'm sorry to be racist, but this is what they would have done at the time. The Sheik would have been Derek Griffiths.
Would have been Derek Griffiths, or it would have been...
Kenny Lynch.
Kenny Lynch, yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been Kenny Lynch. But you could also have, like, you could have Bernie and Schnorbitz in there at some point.
Oh, my God.
That could be, he could be the Don Corleone, but stroking Schnorbitz.
Bernie Clifton.
Clifton!
But he's a roadrunner.
Oh, my God.
Roger DeCourcy and Nookie the Bear.
Oh, my God. Hang on, it can't all be ventriloquist-based. Have spit the dog as well as the driver.
Yeah.
Do you realise you were going 40 miles? Oh. Why are you?
Spit, that's very rude. He's a policeman.
Oh, yes, I don't know why my policeman is now speaking in a British accent. Excuse me, sir. You realise you were going down this crescent at 50 miles an hour?
What?
Yeah, I'm going to have to take you down to the station, sir. Etc.
Take down your particulars.
Take you down your particulars. You saucy fucker. Now, why are you involved now? Well, Babs would be in it, of course.
Babs would be in
and
it.
Somehow she'd be
Suzanne
with...
Danielle.
Suzanne Danielle.
Yeah.
On Annette Newman for some reason.
Pat Coombs.
Coombs. No, Coombs is the old lady.
Yeah.
Who gives the finger.
Who gives the finger.
After seeing Cuddles.
I can't wait to get to this.
Sorry, yeah. Hang on.
After seeing Cuddles.
Oh, God. This is so much better than the original.
Imagine Cuddles and Keith Harris
giving a finger.
Here's him on the bat.
And then Pat Coombs all shocked in the back of a pickup truck. Except it's England, so she'd be in a Sinclair C5.
Oh!
Then she crashes into a tea room and gives someone the finger. And of course, that person would be.
Irony Handel. Oh, you dirty devil.
You rotter. This is how you give a finger. She holds up three, and nobody understands how that happened. But. No, I was thinking it was going to be... Who was the guy who was always reacting? Oh, he was always in Sykes, and he always had little round glasses.
Oh, Derek Giler?
No, not Giler. He was always Sykes. He always talked like that. He always played buttoned-up Englishman.
Yeah.
I loved him because he's in everything in the 70s and 80s.
What was his name?
Richard Wattis.
Richard Wattis.
That's his name. He'd be brilliant in this.
As
anyone to react to something that was a bit un-PC. Like, oh, Sykes! But he has to say Sykes. So that means Sykes is in it, so that's fine.
He'd be good in this, actually.
We can have Sykes in this. He'd be all right.
And if it's before his death, Tommy Cooper.
Cooper would be in there, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
It'd be fantastic. You can have them all in. Corbett, both Rons can be in it.
Both Rons.
And then we can have some dangerous new elements in the film, people at Hale and Pace.
Mm.
They could be involved.
Roy Kinnear,
yeah.
Roy Canoe,
of course. Shall we get back to the plot?
Yeah. So basically, Bert drops and gets hurt and gets concertinaed.
That's right.
And then stuffs loads of hay in Dom's mouth while slapping him.
Well, yeah, because Dom says, look, we can do this 10 times a day and we can make £1 billion. And then,
so I'll just tear this up.
And he tears up the entry form to the Cannibal Run.
Yeah, and that's when Bert stuffs hay in his mouth.
Yeah.
So then we cut to the weirdest thing.
This is just...
really shit, isn't it?
It is shit, but at least it keeps the gag going that we've already seen with the Sheik's family. They're called the Falafels, because this time we're at the Cannelloni family.
Yeah.
But Dom... it's got my favourite gag in it right at the... And Dom DeLuise playing
I know
the
your
Godfather
favorite gag
again.
Is.
It's the end with the cat. It's brilliant. He's just stroking the cat all the way through and then just goes, this cat's dead. Picks up a stuffed cat and just goes, get me another cat.
My favourite
they
joke.
They give another cat. He goes, oh, Tabby's nice. Lifts up his arse and goes, oh, the boy. It's just really ad-libbed.
I just like the joke when he goes, we control drugs, prostitution, oh, right. Extortion,
a boss. Prostitution. You said prostitution twice.
I like it.
It's my second favourite gag of the film, but mine is the stuffed cat, because it's clearly, like, wooden. It's just the way he notices after stroking it for 10 minutes.
This cat is dead.
This cat is dead. Give me a new cat. Oh, God. The cat could have been a contender. That's what I thought. Thank you. It's a tabby. Very nice. It's a boy.
But the scene is boring as fuck.
It really is.
The whole mafia section of this entire film is the film's letdown.
Does not work.
Because all the mafia guys are not funny.
No.
None of them are remotely
They're not comedians,
funny.
That's
yeah,
why.
Yeah, exactly. They're just
Abe
not
Vigoda,
funny.
Alex Rocco is always quite funny. He's probably the best at it.
Yeah.
That fella from The Godfather 2, I don't know his name. And Henry Silver, they're not comedians. That's why it doesn't work.
Well, the two henchmen, which we'll talk about later, trying to get the Sheik, they're just... not a funny bone between them.
Because every scene starts with, are you sure this is a good idea, Tony?
Yeah, it's a good idea! And that's all that happens.
And then it wasn't a good idea.
Yeah. Anyway, after that...
But no, there's another joke, because we found out that the Don has got a son who's now taken over, like in The Godfather, and his name's Don.
And this is... which means he's now called Don.
Yeah.
And I just don't know what to think of this actor, I'm afraid.
What, Don?
Yeah.
He's very camp. He's Charles Nelson Reilly?
Yeah.
Didn't he do a voice from a cartoon?
It sounds like he should be doing that pink cat that used to go, exit stage left, even.
I think
in the Hanna-Barbera. Is that him?
I think it might be.
Because it suits the thin, reedy voice. But I find it really difficult to look at him.
Yeah.
Because he's always boss-eyed and gurning, and his bottom lip's always wet, and it just makes me feel a bit queasy.
He looks like the world's worst paedophile.
He does. It just looks like if you split him open, like a stick of rock, it would just have U-tree written. Or just completely through his body.
Or some boys would fall out.
Oh, my God. He's full of boys, this one. Chock full he is, from ankle to throat. I didn't find him funny.
No.
I just find him creepy and disturbing, because all he does is react and gurn, and he just goes, ow, no,
yeah,
all the time.
Yeah, he's rubbish.
And you just, also, for a film that you just don't believe in any of it anyway, even his casting is just too unbelievable. Mm. Why would you leave that man in charge
of
the branch of the mafia?
And how is he possibly related to an Italian?
I know, it's just insane. And they don't bother covering it, because they don't need to.
No, but Fenderbaum owes him 30 grand.
30 grand.
So they need to go and get Fenderbaum. And the Lambo ladies get a new car by showing some tits.
That's right, yeah.
Because the Lambo breaks down.
And will you be paying for this car, madam? Well, tits suffice. That'll do nicely.
Ooh, Suzanne, don't you? Yes.
If you just sign on the button tit. Thank you very much. It's all yours.
I'll give you a chit. You could say, I'll give you a titty. A chitty.
I'll give you a chitty for your tit. Oh! Yeah, et cetera. And I tell you, you'd sell them the car in our British version, Peter Butterworth.
Peter Butterworth.
How much for the car? Pound.
Per tit.
Per wheel, per tit. Getting all flustered, doing his tie. Cool.
Fiddler's cars.
Do you want insurance? I think we do. Be a pound. Cool. But yeah, I know. And then it cuts after the red Lambo ladies to Jackie Chan.
And Richard Kiel. And Richard Kiel. Who possibly could think they'd be good together?
Well, I think they just thought, you're small and you're big. That's funny, isn't it?
No.
But no, it's not.
Because Richard Kiel, bless him.
Yeah.
He's not very good, is he?
No, he's not. But he's not given anything to do apart from appear large and menacing.
Yeah.
And, of course, they've got the it's pretty much the same car, isn't it?
It is the same car.
Yeah. It's the Inspector Gadget most honourable supercar, isn't it? And then, yeah, I mean, there's nothing of worth that happens between them.
Much like the first one in that regard, you skip all the Japanese bits because they're
rubbish. You sort of do, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the deal for them financing it, I think. I think there's Golden Harvest to the producers.
Yeah.
So they got Jackie in there. But it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work.
Make us invisible, it just flies up in the air.
Yeah, and then and also if it could do that, then just use that all the
time. Just fly all the time.
You don't need to be on the ground.
No.
No one's going to arrest you.
But then we meet...
But in the British version, the liver birds would have... No, hang on. That doesn't work.
The British version would have been Ken Hom.
No, it'd been Bert Kwok.
And Bernard Breslau.
Bert Kwok and Bert... Bernard Manning.
Bernard... No, God, you don't even want
to
think...
No, you can't exactly. Imagine what you'd be saying to Bert.
Oh, poor Bert.
Here, you slanty at, etc.
Oh.
Yeah. Yellow bellied peril, etc.
No, it can't be Bernard Manning. No.
Well, all right. It's got, yeah,
it'll be someone tall.
So, Bernard Breslau.
Bernard Breslau
and Bert Kwok.
That would work, actually.
Yeah, the two B's.
Be funny.
Well.
Bernard would be funnier than Richard Kiel.
Cool. His car would enough go quick.
No, he wouldn't actually.
No, he'd be rubbish, wouldn't he? Yeah. No, you want someone with a bit more gravitas, but I'm not sure who that is.
No.
You could have Bernie get rid of Schnorbitz.
What about instead of Jackie Chan, just Bernie Winters and Schnorbitz in that car?
But Schnorbitz is Chinese.
He could wear a little rice hat.
But Schnorbitz is Chinese, so they tape his eyes back.
Oh, poor Schnorbitz.
Can you imagine? Yeah, Schnorbitz wouldn't mind.
He'd have chopsticks glued to his
chopsticks
paws.
Chopsticks on his paws.
I don't even want to imagine what Bernie Winters would be saying.
He'd turn over in his grave, wouldn't he? Schnorbitz!
Poor old Schnorbitz.
Yeah, I know.
There was a rumour going around for a long time that Schnorbitz died shitting himself on stage.
That turned out to be Bernie, so it's fine. Anyway.
So we meet Fenderbaum and Jamie again.
Yeah.
And I like this scene.
Yeah, I like this scene.
Because he turns up at his hotel room and there's a wonderful fisheye gag, which I always love. Someone peering through.
And they peer at each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I like
good.
That bit. And he decides it's better to go round and come down on the window cleaning.
On the 16th floor.
And Jamie Blake, a.k.a. Dean Martin,
yes,
has got a lady in bed, and it's the lady from Police Academy 3.
Oh, is it?
Yes. Oh. And he's just about to do the deal with her.
Yeah, and she's quite happy to be where she is as well.
Even though he looks like a scrotum.
Yeah, well, he just looks like tanned leather, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Just looks like a shoehorn with a nose. And then suddenly Sammy Davis Jr. is by the window. And his first response is to push him off.
Yeah.
Is to smack
him. But he's clinging. He makes it look like he's clinging on. Yeah. Like we're supposed to believe he's climbed up.
16 floors.
And he hits his hand. And he goes, ah!
And then does it again and he falls. And you think, oh, right, he's killed him. No, he's on a ledge.
He's on a ledge. And then he tells him about this new cannonball and you can win $1 million.
So he abandons his night of, let's say, nookie.
Yeah.
And joins him on the windowsill, which is brilliant. But then you find out it's not a windowsill. They're on a...
A window cleaning thing. And then he says, how did you find this? And he says, I thought it was the elevator.
Which
doesn't work.
But after that, Jack Elam is back.
Oh, before we go into that, to say, when Sammy Davis Jr. runs off, when he has the idea, he goes, the Candyman can.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then it cuts to Dean Martin, and he goes, everybody loves somebody sometime. I just thought, is that for people who don't know who they are?
Yeah, well, there's a very confusing bit later on where they meet Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
And they talk to him like they're old friends, but... And I'm now going, are you now Sammy Davis Jr.? And
Yeah.
And he's just abandoned character.
We've just
Or
given
is
up.
It actually in the Cannonball Run universe, they're not playing those characters. It is those two.
In the British
In between
version,
doing recordings, they try and win races.
In the Cannonball Run, would the Sinatra part be Des O'Connor?
It has to be, doesn't
Who's
it?
The British version?
If you want me to be a goner, give me a record by Des O'Connor. I like him.
Or Max Beauregrange.
Oh, Max Beauregrange. Tell him a story.
I want to race you to...
It could be Max Beauregrange, yeah.
Yeah, I want to race you to Johnny Groats. I'm guessing
Or it could be Freddie Starr when he starts doing some serious singing, but then he'd do some speed
well,
up...
Well, what he'd do...
Speeded up Hitler in between,
he'd do speed it up Hitler. No good.
No, he's not in it. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, no.
No.
I'm not having that.
No star.
I don't care what it is, not now.
Dad, I got to talk to you now.
You got it?
Yes. that I'm 18 stories above the ground. 18!
18?
Yes, 18!
Mm-hmm. 18. Mm-hmm. You know, you're the tallest short guy I've ever seen.
Jack Elam.
Jack Elam. Who sterilizes his finger in a whiskey glass.
Yep.
All he does in that scene is extends his finger. It's the most disturbing thing. It looks like E.T.'s dick. And he's just...
But we need more of it.
I know.
There's not enough.
I know. He's criminally underused.
There's too many mob bits in this that aren't funny.
Yeah, Dollar's Dishwater.
There's too much monkey bits in this, I'm afraid, that aren't funny.
No, you're right.
You need more Jack Elam.
Yeah, you do.
He was
need
one of
Jack
the best
Elam.
Parts of the first film.
Yeah, well, even with, you know, he's got nothing apart from your almost background noise now. But he's still gurning away and just looking insane. He's got chameleon's eyes. One looks left and the other one's looking down.
But there's also a good repeat of that joke from the first film where he's talking about his fee. And, you know, in the first film he goes
That's
really
right.
high.
Yeah.
And they say $200.
For the University of Rangoon.
Yeah. He says, I've reflected on it, you've got a deal.
Talk about my fee. And they just give him a wad of notes.
Yeah, just smacks it down.
Immediately like, happy. So, you know, he's only in it for a mere 40 seconds.
And then we next get JJ and Victor in the bar. And what like about this is JJ saying, look, we're going to have to behave ourselves if we want to win. And Victor's going, yeah, no more girls. And I'm thinking, when are you getting fucking girls? But he says, tomorrow, up and clean. And then they see some women and he goes, tonight, down and dirty.
Oh, well, they're all on the... They're all on the pull in this scene, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's horrible.
But then the mobsters turn up. So Fenderbaum and Jamie Blake run to the kitchen.
That's right.
And then they see Henry Silver. And then he makes a reference to Mr. T.
just doesn't make any sense.
But that's when they tell him about the cannonball.
Yeah.
He says, this crazy sheik's paying people $1 million. And then just then the sheik comes running in. He's like, everybody!
And he comes, yeah.
And he hands a wad of cash to the mobsters and goes, because he looks at his shoes, he goes, oh, wingtips.
Wingtips.
Go and buy yourself some nice clothes.
No, he goes, go and buy yourself a nice clothing store.
That's right.
buy the entire business. But again, you know, that's all he's got. So that he will deliver it with gusto and aplomb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then Don Don is in the Pinto Ranch.
Pinto Ranch.
And Telly Savalas arrives.
Now, I don't mind this joke. I don't mind the initial joke because he does it every single time he meets him. Can I use this chair? And then just smashes it.
And then they hand the hats because they're all bald.
Yeah.
He'll hand his hat, and then he'll hand his hat, and they'll put them together. He says that Don Don owes him $9 million.
Yeah, yeah. And also, didn't he sleep with an entire chorus line?
Just one chorus line.
Just one chorus line.
Doesn't say if they're male or female.
No, well, no.
No.
They were male.
But he says he's got 24 hours to pay it back. Dum Dum.
I'm going to call you Dum Dum from now on. Dum Dum. And Dum Dum's like, no. Just doing 9 million reactions in 1 second. He's having a seizure with his glistening bottom lip.
I think I say his glistening bottom.
With his glistening bottom.
Who would Telly Savalas be in the Cannon and Ball Run?
Oh, okay. Warren Mitchell.
Warren Mitchell, that's perfect.
I'm going to call you Dum Dum. I got you dildo.
What about Charles Nelson Reilly? Who's Don Don going to be? Larry Grayson.
Oh, my God, that's perfect. Grayson, you spent £9 million on Slack Alice.
And Everard.
And Everard. Ooh, shut that door. Why is Drafty in here? Etc. Yeah, yeah, so there you go. That's cast. Oh, Mitchell's in, Grayson's in. Grayson would have done a better job.
He would have done.
Really good job. Just at reacting, just, oh my.
Well, I'm
just looking at camera as well, going, ooh, to us, breaking the fourth wall. Seems like a nice boy. It would have been perfect.
Especially if you think Bruce Forsyth got to be in an episode of Magnum.
Did he?
Yes, so Larry Grayson should have been in Cannonball Run 2.
Yeah, perfect. Well, he is in our version.
Well, when you came out on this stage, you were just a mere cannery worker from Monterey, California. And now you're a rich man.
Yeah.
Cannon and Ball Run.
The Cannon and Ball Run.
Cannon and Ball Run 2.
So then we meet Tony Danza.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Who's got no charisma whatsoever.
He's got nothing to do.
And then the
Is he supposed to be eye candy for the ladies
I
in this
so.
Film?
I
so the ladies
so.
Can go, oh, there's something for me at last.
Mm.
With my gay lady voice. I'm a lady. And that's how ladies talk. Oh, he's nice, isn't he, that Danza? Yeah.
He's with the redneck Norman Collier.
Yes, that's
and this
right.
is when they go to a car dealership, and you get this joke where he says, "This is my Uncle Cal."
Yeah.
The redneck says it, and yeah. Uncle Cal says to him, "Are you my brothers and sisters, boy?"
Yeah.
And he's got a car dealership, so they're looking for a good car.
Yeah.
But the car that turns up is a limousine being driven by an orangutan chauffeur.
Bit far-fetched, isn't it?
Bit far-fetched.
John,
bit far-fetched. Yeah. But it turns out I was wrong.
Yeah, it's
because
true.
Because there's a steering wheel inside the car.
I think more far-fetched would be an owl.
Mm.
Or maybe a slim loris.
Or a duck.
A goldfish bowl, because you'd be going, how the fuck is he steering?
Mm.
Yeah, come on. So actually, a monkey isn't that far-fetched.
No, well, he has a hat.
It's true.
And, he's
and a... this monkey, because the orangutan is known as the old man of the forest.
That's right.
And they're very tranquil beasts. But this one's on fucking coke.
I think he is
constantly... he's basically Harold from his... but really angry.
That's who the orangutan is in our film. Wilfred Brimble.
Wilfred Brimble. What, in an ape suit?
Yeah, then just painted orange.
And then slapping people. He's got a tiny weedy hand. Yeah! But you could do the...
Because...
It'd be perfect at the middle finger. I'll give him that. Wilfred Brimble in a monkey suit.
No, actually, didn't we say it was Keith Harris and
I think we've got to stick with Cuddles.
Yeah, I think we have.
But no, not one shot of Harris in the entire
film,
please.
No, can't see him.
No, he's in the back driving with one hand. The other right up Cuddles.
And you could have at the end, when they have the big punch-up, someone drop-kicking Orville over the fence.
So we go, look, he can fly now.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey!
Bobby Davro.
Bobby Davro.
That would be Tony Danza, would be Bobby Davro.
I tell you, he'd also be in the fight, but it'd be Duncan Norvell, chase me. Just running through the shop.
And the chicken.
Ooh.
And the chicken man.
Just going left and right in shot. And then for some reason, Penelope Keith just wanders in and looks at the camera. This is most uncalled for. And then lamps someone. Because Penelope Keith will be in it at some point.
And Peter Bowles.
Peter Bowles, of course, will naturally be in it.
The ultimate gentleman. The pinnacle of gentlemanry.
Oh, my God.
Basically, this guy's saying this monkey's great because it's a great promotional tool for my dealership. And then he goes in the office and the monkey goes fucking insane.
Goes berserk.
The best thing he does is he immediately walks in and he picks up a phone and goes... he goes... Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah,
blah. And then literally... kicks the living shit out of his owner. The slap looks so real.
Yeah.
Like I think you... Did you get hurt during the filming of this? Yes, I really did. He broke several vertebrae. He drags him from the floor under a desk at one point.
We cannonballers. Stop it, boy. I told you not to play with the phones. Damn chap cost me $300 a month in wrong numbers.
Hey, stop it, you primate.
That's it. I've had it with you. Excuse me, fellas. I gotta teach this old boy some manners. Son. Now you step in it.
And welcome to the Musical Podcast. I'm Kiri.
And I'm Jade.
And I'm Dave.
Dave's on keys. But we don't play that too much because otherwise we'll have to pay some people rights money.
Yeah. We do a live show where comedians come and sing their favourite musical theatre songs in front of a live audience. This podcast
is us bringing that person inside of a building.
Welcome to Just a Minute with Jade Adams.
I panicked.
Enjoy.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But his sale pitch, by the way, is if a monkey can drive, so can you.
Oh, that's right.
That's not how you sell a car.
Yeah, and also it's not a monkey; it's an ape.
Yes, that's right. Sorry. Yeah. But yeah, he gets in a fight with the monkey.
Kicks the shit out of him.
The ape.
And
sorry.
Then, yeah, and then decides, well, if you get the car, you get the ape as well, because I can't handle him anymore.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't he initially say, I'm going to teach this son of a bitch a lesson? he's willing to beat him up. So his animal rights activist going, oh, no, we can't have this. Oh, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
No, because the ape kicks the shit out of him.
The cokehead ape goes mental.
Coke ape. What did they give the poor fucker? Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. And then we meet Mary Lou Henner and Shirley MacLaine.
Yes, yes. Now, this is odd.
It is odd, because I was reading that originally it was going to be Mary Lou Henner and Jacqueline Smith from Charlie's Angels.
Well, my question was, MacLaine, why are you in this? Do you need the money?
Exactly.
Maybe she just wanted to branch out and just being something just balls out silly.
I guess.
I don't know the reason.
No.
Did she need a new patio or something? I don't know what it is.
This is the cannibal wrong patio.
The cannibal wrong patio. She needed something, didn't she? So she went, no.
Maybe there was really good coke from the monkey.
Well, I've heard my dealer's doing it, so I better join in. Yeah.
But they're actors dressed as nuns.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what? I completely didn't even realise that they were actresses dressed as nuns. I genuinely thought they were nuns.
Right, okay.
And then a bit later on went, oh, there's actually a bit of plot here. Well, they're trying to get to New York to become actresses or something?
To become famous actresses. And when they're sitting in this cafe...
So they've just come off a set, I presume.
Yes, they're on a lunch break.
Right,
and they come into the cafe and Mary Lou Henner starts talking about how she wants to marry a rich man.
Yes.
And then she overhears Bert and Dom saying, what would you spend your $500,000 on?
So they decide that they're going to hitch their wagon to these guys' stars.
They're from the order of Immaculate Chastity.
Yeah. Well, don't they both get the last one mixed up?
Yeah.
Chastity and sanctity at the same time?
Yeah. And then Dom goes, I've read all of the Bible. I've never heard of the Immaculate Chastity. And she says, it's in the New Testament.
The New Wave.
That's it.
The New Wave. Groovy, man. Yeah.
But I didn't know about the fact that it was supposed to be a younger woman. I always thought it's quite good that Shirley MacLaine and Bert get together because they're of similar age.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But in actual real life, he was going out with Mary Lou Henner at this point.
Oh, wow.
So Blimey. He's obviously quite cool with Dom having a go with his missus.
Dom, no, hang on. From It Ain't Half Hot, Mum. I remember green grass. Him. Dom.
Yeah.
He's got Dom, isn't he?
Don Estelle.
Don Estelle. He's got to be in this.
But this is Cannon and Ball.
Yeah, but I just want Don Estelle to be in the film at some point.
Yeah. Well, he'd be a stand-in.
And he's got to be with you lovely boys. He's got to be
God,
with...
Windsor Davis.
Windsor Davis.
Telly Savalas would be Windsor Davis.
Do you mind if I take this chair? And then smashes it to bits.
Smashes it on Don Estelle.
Oh, it's Don Estelle. So I tell you what, we won't have... Oh, no, but Grayson's great as Don Don.
He can stay as Don Don.
Okay.
But I mean, as Telly Savalas.
Oh, there you go.
And he's got two men with him, hasn't he? So they could both be from an A&R.
There you go, perfect. Yeah, Hayes.
And yeah, Melvin Hayes.
There you go. So they're the two mafia henchmen.
Yeah.
Oh, thank fuck for that. So we've cast them now.
Yeah.
Oof. Anyway.
So the mob guys are going to rip off the Arab, they say.
Yeah.
So they're going to kidnap him and use the ransom money.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is almost a subplot.
Yeah.
Almost a subplot.
Yeah, they're going to get the money to bail out Don.
Yeah.
By kidnapping the Arab.
Apparently.
So JJ and Victor pretend to be army guys. This is their... And I never liked this, because the reason they're so cool in the first one is they're ambulance drivers.
Yeah.
And in this one, they're bringing nuclear waste.
They're trying to, yeah, trying to get nuclear waste across the border. But I like the little scene with them in their costumes.
Yeah, the medal bit is very funny.
The medal bit's really funny.
Yeah.
Because he just goes, I just wish I had a medal. And he goes, oh, take a medal. Anything you want for my old pal. And he just takes the Congressional Medal of Honor. And Bert's face is just pure look at camera. You son of a bitch.
I like that one.
It's really funny. Because he says, you look sexy. I look like a turd.
Yeah.
Like
and then he
turd.
Says, he's got the, look how many years of service he's done. It's literally going off his arm. Like he's been in the army for 100 years.
And there's a lovely joke which harks back to the first film where they say God would be our co-pilot.
Yes.
Which is a little nod to the first one.
It is.
Which is really nice.
Yes. One of the nice things.
Yeah, one of the nice things about this
film. Oh, who's going to play Marilyn Henner and Shirley MacLaine in Cannon and Ball Run?
Okay, so who have we got? It could be... I'm thinking from the Live of Birds, we could have Neris Hughes.
She's also got orange hair.
Yeah, so that's good. And she can be with... who's going to join her on her nun-based odyssey?
Nurse Gladys Emanuel.
Oh, yeah, perfect, yeah. Perfect. There you go, done. Yeah. Done and dusted. Because she looked very funny in a nun's nun's wimple.
Yeah.
She's ample-bosomed.
Yeah.
So that would be very funny.
I still think
especially when they get changed in, the Cannibal Run in the silhouette. And you just saw fa-doing.
Yeah.
And the wimple going...
You could even get the little cash till going off in the background. I still think it's really funny that she's called Gladys Emanuel.
Yeah. No, it's brilliant.
It's great.
So she's in it.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Sorry, I keep knocking the microphone.
Yeah, you do.
So Blake and Fenderbaum are now cops.
Yes, that's right. That's what they decided to do.
And they want to do a long body search on some women.
I know, it's horrible.
It's just horrible.
So rapey and disgusting.
Yeah.
Again, this scene, they're all separately at tables, all trying to make out with anyone breathing. It's horrible.
And someone whispers something into his ear.
You're being filmed.
And Fenderbaum goes, he whispers into his ear.
Oh, that's right, yes. No, doesn't Shirley MacLaine whisper something?
Yes.
It's disgusting.
And then, Shirley MacLaine whispers in his ear, then he whispers into Sammy Davis Jr. And he goes, you're sick.
You're sick. So I don't know what the nun said.
No.
Well, it is.
But then we get a montage.
Shit on me like gravy or something like that.
You know in the first one when they start the race?
Yeah.
You've got all the signage. Everyone's got
the
T-shirts.
Crowds.
All the crowds.
Yeah.
This one is about
and
six people. Looks like it's been filmed in Skegness.
It's like behind the bins at Lidl.
And there's literally one banner saying Cannonball Run.
Yeah, this way.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No effort.
No one gives a shit. But at least the race is now finally started.
Yeah.
Thank God.
And we see the Bigfoot truck.
We do,
which was everywhere at this point.
Yeah, yeah. And I can't remember what the guy says that pisses off the owner of the Bigfoot truck, but he just...
The guy having a go at him...
Get moving already, or something.
That's the director of the film.
Oh, there's that Needham again.
Hal Needham again, yeah. And he runs over his Porsche.
Runs over his Porsche and he's like, oh, my Porsche. Except if it was in England and we're doing it, he's got a mini Metro.
A tractor.
And the guy's got a tractor or a combine harvester. And of course, it's Arthur English.
Of course.
Well, then I'll show you a claw! And then does an expletive as he beeps his horn so you don't hear fuck off. Fuck off! And off he goes. That's how we do that scene.
Oh, dear. And then the mob guys have got an idea to stop the car with a claw on the front. It's just out of Rocky Races. And...
Well, yeah, no, I wrote down this is like they're now becoming like Wile E. Coyote, trying to find Roadrunner with their Acme product ideas. And every single one of them, there's five attempts and none of them are remotely funny.
Not it pays off in the end.
It does a little, but
it's painful.
Because all they do is go, oh, this'll work, and then it didn't work, and that's it.
Are you sure about this, Tony?
And they're just dreadful.
They grab onto the back of the car with a claw, and then when they brake, their car gets split in half.
Yeah, and that's that joke. Done. This is what this film does more than they did in the original Cannibal Run. It just has endless 30 to 40 second little vignette gags.
Yeah.
90% of them just aren't funny.
Yeah.
And it was just relentless. Oh, right, we need to go and see... We need to see Jackie Chan now for 2 seconds, and then we need to see these guys for 4 seconds. I mean, the two ladies in their Lambos, all they do in the film is break down.
Yeah.
And then persuade another man via sex.
Via threesome promises.
Yeah. At one point, a young boy, which we'll come to later, he's like, hello. So, come on.
But next we get the best scene in the film.
Yeah, we do.
Where the monkey flips the bird on an old lady.
Well, the old lady's driving in her sedan and notices a monkey. He's like, no, that's lovely, that. And then, of course, the ape, because he's coked out of his nut, goes... And she's like, ow! Gives him the finger back and immediately crashes into a shop. And then her record, her response to the owner of the shop, like, you've ruined my stock, is to give him the finger.
Yeah.
And that's that bit done.
That's that joke.
But old ladies giving fingers was such a big thing in the 80s. Or,
it was.
Or just saying rude words. It was
swearing.
Such a thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like in, like we covered in Running Man.
The Running Man.
The Running Man.
So Dom drives fast.
Yeah.
And Mary Lou Henner starts groping him.
Yeah, I know, groping his leg.
Because they're going to sit boy nun, boy nun.
That's right, boy nun, boy nun. And she says, are you blessing my leg, sister? It makes me go faster. And it's like, she immediately fancies him.
She fancies Dom DeLuise.
She fancies Dom DeLuise.
Think about that for a moment.
I know. Fancies Dom DeLuise.
Yeah. Because well, he looks like a turd.
He has said, I look like a turd. And I'd imagine smells like one as well.
Yeah. But she starts talking about how he's, she starts saying about how he's got really hot legs.
Yeah. I don't, again, this is just a shoo-in that there's a love story happening. Well, it's not really a love story, is it? Because it's just any port in a storm just, story.
They're obviously mentally ill, these women.
Yeah.
Nothing else what's going on here.
But you do then cut to the shake in his car. And my second favourite part, again, Jack Elam.
Mm-hmm.
He decides that the sheik won't be able to eat the sandwich that is passed down from the back.
Oh, yeah.
And in his medical opinion, he goes, I better try that first. And he says that salami will kick the shit out of your ulcer. Kick the shit out of your ulcer.
That's right. That's why he's been brought on, because the sheik has got an ulcer.
That's right.
Yeah.
Kick the shit out of your ulcer. And just starts.
Does he inject Doc McClure at this point? Or is
That's later on. He injects Doc McClure and then himself and does his. But not as.
Not enough.
Yeah, again, cut too quickly.
JJ!
There's a bit where he's just polishing the needle with his fingers, just staring at it with one eye, whilst the other one sort of goes counterclockwise, going.
But the mob guys try and pick them up with a helicopter.
Hang on. Who plays Jack Elam in our version?
Oh, my God.
No, I'll tell you who does. What? Leo McKern.
Oh, my God!
He's perfect.
Absolutely perfect.
And he can do.
He certainly can. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
He was he was brilliant as. Moriarty in The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes' Smarter Brother.
Yes,
you ever saw that?
Yes.
Brilliant. Every so often he goes, in it. So he'd be perfect.
That's got Dom DeLuise in it as well.
Yeah, there you go. So that's that wet cast as well.
Why don't we all drink some very sexy wine?
Love that film.
I love that film too. That's got John the Measurer going, shit.
No, it's Queen Victoria that does it. He goes up to her and goes, woof, because he fancies her. She just goes, oh, shit. And that's how the film starts.
But doesn't he throw the thing behind? Oh, that is.
Scroll.
Yeah.
He's got some. He's delivering some sort of royal instructions and then just looks at her and goes, woof.
That's right.
And she goes, oh, shit.
And that's also. No, it's Watson who says shit, because Holmes tells me he's at the door. He goes, it's a large man who's come here to kill us.
Oh, that's
oh
right.
Shit.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's a good film. We'll have to do that one.
Yeah, we will do that one.
So the nuns.
Yeah, they get changed.
They get changed. And then Bert goes, I'll tell you about those nuns. I want to jump on her bones.
Oh, God. And they're changing in silhouette so you can see the outlines of breasts and things like that.
The bosom.
The booby-doos, as they would say.
The norks.
Them. And obviously both our heroes are like now in the throes of love.
Yeah.
Yeah, they love these nuns. They don't yet know that they're not nuns.
No. Oh, we'll get there in a minute.
Which makes the emotional journey for them much harder, because they're struggling now that they're, you know, having...
With celibacy.
Having relations with ladies of cloth.
Because as we know, JJ and Victor, they just have to click their fingers and
they've
got...
it's raining fanny.
Hallelujah.
In their world. Yeah.
But they get pulled over by the police.
Yes.
And they start talking about how it's a nuclear meltdown.
Yeah. And so they've got to go and look out for some commies who are behind us.
That's
which
right.
Is
yeah.
Which is a direct swap from the first film, isn't it? Because that's what they do.
Yes.
That's what Sammy and Dean do to them in
that's
the first
right.
One.
And Bert and Victor in the first one say that they're perverts.
That's right.
The flashers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. So they do exactly the same. It's the same plot.
Yeah.
But this time it's reversed.
But it's not as good because they're in their red Corvette and they're getting chased and they realise it's JJ because over the radio they hear that a general.
Yeah.
Said it was them.
But there's a nice little moment where the private turns up, who joins them for the rest of the journey. And I can't remember the name of the actor. He's got such a unique kind of way of speaking like that.
Yeah, he's Gomer Pyle.
Yeah, he's great. He's also second in command with Burt Reynolds in The Best Little Horror House in Texas.
Yes, you're right.
He's his deputy. Which that's I wonder if that's how they met, and that's how they maybe got. Probably not, but it's just. Oh yeah, I remember. Messing I remember around. You. Yeah, I love that film.
Yeah.
Especially when Dolly goes, "Do you know what burns my ass?" Bert goes, "What? Flame about 3 feet high," and laughs. It's a lovely film.
It is a lovely film, yeah. And it's got
Dom DeLuise.
Dom DeLuise and
Dom DeLuise, who is a TV evangelical crusader, and yeah. He's getting changed to start his show. Stuffs three socks down to make his dick look bigger.
Also
and starts it. Texas has a whorehouse in it. Lord have mercy on a soul. Brilliant.
And the big fat man who used to be in everything.
Yes, Charles Durning.
Charles Durning.
Yeah, he's the politician. He's got his own song. I like to dance a little sidestep.
That's right.
Yeah, brilliant.
He was so good.
I don't like musicals, pretty much, but I really love Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. Anyway.
Anyway, so the monk, the ape. Gets Roger Moore's mum from the first film.
Cuddles, yeah.
Cuddles crashes into a truck and gets Roger Moore's mum.
Yeah.
Who talks about cooking some sort of Jewish food for them.
Yeah. Can I make you dinner? Yeah. They go through her caravan, essentially.
Yeah.
And in this film, it would be Patsy Rowlands, by the way. She'd be the lady.
Oh, my God.
Can I cook you dinner? Just in that really sort of beleaguered way. She's so good at, like, that the weight of the world was on her shoulders.
That one where she fancies Kenneth Williams. Is that Are You Convenience?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Boggs.
Yeah. W.C. Boggs.
Come down on it hard! Just testing out the
toilet.
Tensile strength of the toilet. Thunder down upon it!
Oh.
There's another one where she has an unrequited love for, I think it's a matron or a nurse one, where Kenneth Williams has decided that he's going to, that Hattie Jakes will be his love interest. And Patsy Rowlands is his housekeeper and really upset about that. So when she comes around to dinner, she appears in a negligee. Oh, well, I didn't realise you had company. She's trying to be all sexy. I love that bit. Because Patsy gets to be really, in it, release some passion. Because normally she's the dowdy housewife.
She was good in, do you remember Bottom?
Yeah,
Identity Parade episode.
Yeah.
She's Spud Gunn's mum.
She was really good.
Yeah.
She really, and she had brilliant, you know, just that downtrodden, the world just hanging heavy on her shoulders, unrequited anything. She was really funny in it. She's in so many Carry On films, actually.
Mm.
But again, always played that part.
Yeah.
Always played the,
what
shame.
But Jackie Chan beats up some bullies.
I thought, is this the fight now already?
Yeah.
No, it's a pre-fight, and it's not even that good.
No.
And that just goes on for about 10 seconds with some Hell's Angels, whilst Jaws just... It eats watermelon and watches.
Yeah, he gets Jackie to chop the watermelon for him.
Kind of nice, yeah.
And then eats it like a redneck on the car bonnet.
Yeah, in the British version, he'd chop a Scotch egg in half.
Bert Kwok.
Bert Kwok would chop a Scotch egg in half.
Would you chop my Scotch egg for me, Bert?
Cool, lovely. So, yeah, I just wrote, Hell's Angels fight. Yawn.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing... And then it cuts to an even duller Mafia Acme attempt number 3, cable across road, to try and...
I didn't even write that
to try and chop the occupants in half, is the idea.
Mm.
Aren't they trying to find him to kidnap him?
Yeah.
All of these involve killing him. Not kidnapping.
No.
It results in horrible death.
Yeah.
But that doesn't work. It just pulls off a billboard and they go...
Yeah.
And they could have had a comedy billboard, but they didn't.
No.
They could have had something on the billboard.
No.
Or even just, you know, one of them big boobs and that falls on them or something. And
yep.
One of them goes, nipple in me eye.
Mm.
Or just something.
Yeah.
You know. Or maybe one for, like, Marlborough. And then, smoking's bad for you. Or something. That's anything.
Instead
but
of, are you sure this is a good idea, Tony?
Yeah. Yeah, this can't fail.
Mm.
It failed. And then, meep, meep, as the Sheik once again carries on his journey.
Bernie Clifton.
Yeah.
And he's Roadrunner.
Jesus. And then we cut. Oh, but then this is a bit finally where you see Jack Elam injecting himself, and then he starts injecting
McClure.
Doug McClure. Yeah, I'm just going. And he's just literally in the background. All you can hear is. That's all he's got, I'm afraid.
I'm afraid so.
Bless him. Oh, no, he's got one more bit, and that's the nicest, my favourite bit in the film, but we'll cover that when we get to it.
And the nuns get changed out of their costumes and come out looking like 70s hookers.
And. Shirley MacLaine's not wearing much.
No, she isn't, and it doesn't look right.
It doesn't look
also,
right, does it?
Given
it looks
her...
like she's put a leotard on, like she's about to do some gymnastics, but she's also got a shawl on, like she's dressed for winter and summer at the same time.
And they've also given her an old lady's haircut.
Yeah, old lady's haircut, and the music is... which is Farrah Fawcett's music.
It's Beauty's theme.
Beauty's theme, yeah.
But I think Shirley MacLaine looks really old in this because of her haircut.
Yeah. Well, she's got a bleach blonde perm.
Yeah.
Kind of, isn't
like
she?
An old lady in the 80s.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And she's got a cardi and a shawl and then not even hot pants. Or she's just wearing like a leotard or something.
Yeah.
And it's almost sort of flesh coloured as well. It's just, ooh, no. Call wardrobe. Just they, didn't quite work.
They come out with chili dogs.
Chili dogs and beer.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think that's when the boys finally fall in love with them.
Yeah.
Because not only are they smoking hot, but they're providing beverages.
And, yes.
And food.
And chili dogs.
Yeah. Well, actually, Dom's still a bit, ooh, I don't know if I can do this, but grabs a hot dog and runs away, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's as someone once told me, it's losing momentum. The film is now just sort of going like...
They drop off Lyle, because they've kidnapped Lyle as well to get him to drive for them, who's private pal.
And they get rid of him simply on the premise that they can't now all have sex with him there. So they just drop him off in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But then they give him the Congressional Medal of Honor.
That's right.
Which is quite nice.
Yeah.
It's a little revenge to Dom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Jaws and Jackie Chan drive their submarine.
Yeah, that bit.
And then we get Sid Caesar trying to catch a fish.
Well, it's weird because, they're trying to get away from the police, aren't they? And they put their booster on too fast and they go in the lake and then they go into submarine mode. Fair enough. Mm. And then on the computer it goes, enemy proximity alert. It's three fishermen.
Yeah.
Why are they enemies? What are they doing?
I don't know.
Apparently they're the enemy. So they decide to use their car to hook on the reel, and then they pull them in the water for a bit.
That would be Mr. Lucas.
Trevor Bannister?
Yeah.
I've got a lively one here.
Yeah.
Oh, then, well, you could have all the... actually, that scene, you could have him and Captain Peacock and John Inman as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I see you've got a tiddler.
And Mr. Rumble.
Yeah, Mr. Rumble. Ooh, well done, Peacock. You know, that'd be good. Hang on. Ooh. Exactly, yeah. The boat's going...
And then as they catch the big car...
I say, Captain Peacock, that's a whooper.
You know. Mr. Grace could be on the banks in his
wheelchair. You've all done very well.
You've all done very well.
And then falls into the... falls into the lake. And that's his bit done.
And then the camera closes.
Oh, Peacock, this fish is absolutely awful. I think you'll find it's a car. I wouldn't mind going for a spin. I'm free, etc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a coupe. I don't care about his hair.
Yeah. But again, that scene is not funny.
And we've just improved it.
Yeah, we're improving every single bit with our British version.
Yeah, it's like we're going through it with a broom.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the Sheik then stops the car for some tits. Because this is the gag. The mob say, we've tried everything, but this trick, it works
this
for everybody.
This will do it. This will do it, yeah.
And it's a woman who opens her coat to show she's got breasts. And the Sheik stops and says, I love you!
Yeah.
And then the mobsters grab him. And that's when they put the gun to his head. And he says, how dare you put the gun to my head?
No, that's true. Hang on, wasn't there a bit before that where they try and pick him up with a helicopter with a magnet
No,
on?
We did that.
Oh, we've done that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Again, they went through the tunnel.
That's right. Yeah, and they couldn't afford to film that. So you just hear sound effects.
Sound effects.
Yeah.
And then Don Knotts pulls over the ape.
Yes.
And thinks, oh, it's Candid Camera. Dating it slightly. And says, we should just go up there and talk to them because we'll be on TV.
Yeah.
And the ape kisses him.
Kisses him. He does have a really good double, triple take reaction to that. Like, whoa!
Yeah.
That's quite good. And then again, the monkey ape beats the shit out of them.
Yeah.
That's that scene.
You know
done.
The most annoying thing about the ape? Is every time he does something, you get that... horrible music.
I know, it's dreadful.
The
stock,
first
stock
film
music.
Had lovely...
Yeah.
Or what was the other one?
Yeah, and all that.
Yeah.
This doesn't.
It's got
stock music.
Shit.
Yeah, she's got shit music.
So the Sheik has been kidnapped.
Yeah, finally. Good.
I would have liked to have seen, though, where Don gets bummed by the ape.
Whilst giving them the finger.
Giving the other one the finger on the bum.
The finger.
So they find out they have a big meeting, all the cannonballers, and they find out that the Sheik has been kidnapped.
Yeah.
So Dean Martin says, "Well, we need to go to the king."
Isn't there a little scene before that where the Sheik is driving a car, but he's got shaving foam on him, and Jack Elam eats the shaving foam.
That's right.
And goes a bit later on, goes, "I was eating my dessert, and I saw one of the cat people."
That's my favourite bit.
That's
when they see the tits.
That's my favourite bit of the film.
Yeah.
I saw one of the cat people. What a thing. I was eating my dessert. He's eating shaving foam, going. Oh, he hasn't got much, but when he grabs it firmly by both hands.
It should just be a film just about him.
Oh, Christ. I would love. Imagine doing like a Planes, Trains and Automobiles type film where it's a really innocent straight guy just with that character, Jackie. I'm just,
oh, my God.
The whole thing.
Wouldn't you love a spin-off film where he had his own medical practice?
Oh, Christ, yes. Yeah.
Or a TV series.
Rangoon.
Yeah. Dr. Van Helsing in practice. Something.
Imagine. Just put him with the rest of the cadavers.
Or like a Quincy.
Or smoking a carrot.
Him doing Quincy.
Or Ironside.
Because you would believe he's got Emmy.
Get cooked up.
So they go to see the king, which is Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra, who has no... It's just not appearing in this film.
He's just...
I'll come and do a day shoot with you boys for fun. Are you going to be fun? No.
No.
Are you going to do anything? No.
No.
Are you just going to sit there? Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Nice wig, though.
Yeah, I presume that's where all the budget went for this film.
I'm guessing.
Was Frank.
And the cartoon.
Oh, yeah, there's an animation.
It's
that
really
isn't
odd.
Funny either.
No.
Yeah, dreadful. But, this is the bit where I started going, oh, so now Sammy Davis Jr.'s dropped out a character and they're all mates. So in this world,
The best bit about the scene is in the blooper.
Yes.
Where Dom DeLuise says, we've got to drive from Connecticut up your ass.
Up your ass! And then starts laughing, yeah. Yes.
But it's the one scene in the presence of Frank, and I'm guessing Frank was there. I was worried that it might be inserts.
No, they were definitely there, weren't they?
But
I presume they were all just pissed after lunch. And then
Bert looks quite intimidated, I thought.
Oh, do you think?
He looks quieter than usual.
Oh, okay.
Maybe because he's worried about being killed.
He's in the presence of greatness to some extent. So he's I like the idea of Bert being a bit starstruck.
Yeah, he
does. That's kind of a nice idea.
Yeah.
Or the fact that, the medication's wearing off after his last plastic surgery and he just doesn't know what day it is.
But he's got his moustache back in this.
His moustache is back.
Yeah.
He found it in his pocket.
But Sinatra's idea is that he knows Don, the promoter at the Pinto Ranch. So now we get the classic middle-aged men in the 80s like to do, dress up as women.
Dress up as women, which is like the stalwart of all the carry-on. In fact, it's almost lifted from the carry-on...
Follow That Camel.
Follow That Camel, isn't it? Where they get in Indian head... No, not what they dressed as.
Belly dancers.
Belly dancers.
Yeah.
And they dance. And you can clearly see that it's men and...
They've got moustaches.
And they're fancied
beards.
To some degree. At the beginning, they're fancied until...
And they mime to baby love.
Yeah, it's just really disturbing. And it's not funny.
No, it's not funny.
It's just not funny at all.
It goes
all.
On forever as well.
It's just really disturbing. Sammy Davis Jr. enjoying himself slightly too much.
But your man, Larry Grayson, gives them lifetime contracts.
Marvellous! It's wonderful, isn't it, Slack Alice? Yeah, so he enjoys it. Lifetime contracts.
That's what he says. And Telly Savalas arrives for his money.
Smashes another chair.
Yep.
Dum dum.
So they grab them up, because Don meets them and he's like, Tony Savalas meets them and he's like, are you on hormones?
Ugh.
And then he shakes Bert's hand and Bert crushes his hand and then he says to his minder, get me on those hormones.
Yeah.
But they snatch the money from Tony Savalas.
They do, yes, by going up to them and saying something about their contracts or their dressing rooms, and then they all just punch them simultaneously.
I like the joke where he says, since you're dying men, you can have one last request.
Right.
And I can't remember what...
Don't they all ask for food?
One of them says, frigging chickasee.
Yeah,
a chicken fricassee.
Yeah, that's Dom DeLuise.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all ask for something, and the sheet goes, chicken shish kebab with couscous.
No, just couscous.
No, just a couscous.
Oh, yeah, someone says...
Mr. Davis, behind us, curried beans.
Someone asked for the wine list.
Beans of the
it's Dean Martin.
Dean Martin, of course. And there's a little wine list. And then vomits down himself.
And then they have the huge punch-up.
Yeah.
And Tony Savalas gets thrown into space.
Yeah, and literally like a rag doll.
Yeah. On this terrible rig, you can see the wires where he's just endlessly spinning up through the air.
And it's identical to the first fight in the first film.
Yep.
It's just, nothing's changed.
No.
Dom DeLuise is just the same. Hello and greetings and ta-da!
Fool!
Nothing is happening again now.
But you do get Bert saying to Jackie!
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And doing the chop-chop.
Doing the chop-chop.
And then he gets hit.
Yeah. And Shirley MacLaine joins in a bit. They're just beating the shit out of people with huge clubs of wood, aren't they?
Yeah.
Just joining in.
But they rescue the Sheik, who's...
But no Jack Elam in this bit.
No Jack
Elam. He could have been there doing his injecting thing again.
Yeah.
Come on, I would have laughed a second time.
I would have done.
Yeah. Or if it was me and I was casting him, I would have been, had him surrounded by people and knowing he couldn't do anything about it and then going, well, and then injecting himself so he doesn't have to face it.
Into his brain.
Yeah.
Just dying.
Just anything.
But the Sheik says... Well, Tully, the Don Don says he owes 9 million.
9 million.
And the Sheik says, I'll give you 18 million.
Yeah, so...
As you say, he's just shitting money.
Yeah.
And then he says, in fact, the winning prize for the cannonball is now 2 million.
Yeah, which, hang on, no, why don't you just stay here and run the business and have 18?
That's a good point.
Paltry amount, really.
Yeah.
All this fucking effort we have to go through.
Well, just if you're burps, they can have $1 million and he'd give it to you.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Just tap him on the head and money will fall out of his ass. Mm. Just ask him.
Yeah.
Can I have £1 million to throw off a cliff, please? Because I'm mad. Have a 2 million and chuck me off the cliff as well. Because I'm a mad. Throw me into the couscous.
Who did we say was playing the Sheik? Kenny Lynch.
Kenny Lynch.
Are we sure about that?
No, I'm still, yeah.
He wouldn't have the charisma, would he?
We haven't quite bedded that one down.
No.
Griffiths would be better.
Yes.
He would be better.
But again, he hasn't got the gravitas.
No, no. And without resorting to blacking up, which to be honest, could happen in Cannon and Ball run, then that does open up some rather racist doors that we could explore, but maybe we should leave that firmly shut.
Well, it would be Michael Bates, wouldn't it?
If you have an idea, listener, of who you'd like to cast as a Sheik, do let Smirshpod know.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, but
please.
I'd like to know.
Yeah, I'd like to know too. Mm. But then we get the cartoon map, which was animated by Ralph Bakshi.
Oh, who? I don't know who that is.
He did Fritz the Cat.
Ah,
and
okay.
Wizards and the Lord of the Rings cartoon.
Oh, did he? Oh, yeah. Okay. And it's a meandering arrow.
It's rubbish.
And that's it.
It was with a lobster.
Oh, yeah, and it falls in a pit twice.
Yeah. But you also get the new Cannonball Run theme, which I quite like.
Yeah, no, I like the new one. It's nice. But again, it doesn't have the joy like at the end of the first one where they've got that la 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 la, which is lovely.
Yeah.
None of that.
No.
No.
Ricardo Montalban turns up and says, I must meet the winner. And then he says, I have hired him as our driver for next year, promising a sequel.
There is no end to this film, is it? It just trails off. Who's won the race? I didn't
The realize. Orangutan.
Oh, it is the orangutan,
yeah.
Is it? Right.
So
Tony Danza and the guy have won.
Yeah.
You don't even see them, do you?
You don't see who wins
right.
the race.
Okay.
It's
I presume they're just dead in the back.
They obviously just thought, put a cartoon in and then do a bit at the end.
Yeah.
That'll do.
Yeah.
It Whereas really at the end of the first one, you get that foot race.
Yeah, you get the foot race and you get the jeopardy and then you've got Captain Chaos ruining it. I mean, it's all there. But this, they just go, yeah, right, we have to stop the film now.
Hmm.
We have to be offset.
Lazy cunts.
The page stops here, guys, so I presume that's the end of the film.
Yeah.
And it ends with a kiss. Doesn't even end with a or a slap.
No.
Just a kiss.
No, they even dub over a laugh over the frozen frame.
Yeah. It's a real shame.
It is.
It's a real shame. It's a proper damp squib of an ending. But it's got its moments. I still enjoyed it. Not nowhere near as much as Cannonball Run.
No.
But I haven't seen it probably since I first saw it, so...
Mm.
Where I've definitely seen Cannonball Run, like yourself, probably a few times too many now.
Yeah.
But I wasn't as horrified as I thought. It just got dull and it suffered from too many, what they thought at the time were funny sequences that just weren't.
Yeah.
Like you also said, starring character actors who weren't character actors or funny.
No.
And if they just removed the mafia plot, I think it would have been a better film.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah. Plus, you've got the wrong people with the wrong people. Like Jack Elam shouldn't be with.
Yeah, exactly. Sheik. Yes, exactly.
He should be with someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you had Jack Elam in the car with Jackie Chan, that would have been funny.
Or with Bert and the ladies.
Because, you know, yeah, exactly. Or if they... Or even Jack with the two ladies in the Lambo. That would be funny. Just him constantly looking at their breasts going...
The perfect specimen.
Yes, he says, anoint it with oils. And, oh, yeah, there's that bit where he, again, which trails off. You don't quite hear it. Do you?
Want me to examine it, JJ?
JJ? Tapping his nose. No tapping a nose in this one?
No.
No.
No flicking the old...
No, the Feltram.
Yep.
It's a wonderful wet sound, isn't it?
It is.
Can't do it. But, Yeah, and then the film just ends, and then we get a bit more of the same as we had in the first one.
Bloopers.
We get the bloopers. Actually, they're not as good.
They're not as good because it's just Bert feeding him hay, pretty much.
Well, it's just Bert, again, striking him, which they seem to think is hilarious. But there's no other really... There's none that stand out.
The only one that stood out for me is when he pokes Jamie Farr and it goes...
No.
And they both start laughing.
Yeah. And that's about it. There's one with Frank, but that's not...
That's the good one, where Dom DeLuise says, we're going to drive up your ass.
Yeah, right up your ass. And that's it.
Yeah.
And then it just ends, and you're like, oh, well.
There should be one of the monkey doing loads of cocaine. There is one of the monkey being taught by his owner to throw the beer can.
Yes, that's right. He's in the seat next to him, isn't it? Yeah.
Presumably that's Bob.
But that's not funny.
No, it's not funny.
No.
It's not going to be on. It'll be right on the night, is it?
No. Take a look at the clip of this monkey.
Throwing a beer can.
If you're one of those coked up orangutans, take a look at this fucker.
Dennis, no, you can't say that.
Fucking can. All right, you can. Oh, dear. I used to see Dennis Norden walk past my flat almost daily, but I haven't seen him for about 3 years, so I think he's very ill. I don't think he's died, because I would have heard.
He did die.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Because I live opposite a bookshop, and he used to pass almost daily. And he was like still 6 foot something, but all stooped and hunched.
Aww.
With his massive shop window glasses, like huge bifocal glasses. But every day he used to go into the little bookstore. I don't think he ever bought anything. Just to go and look at the photography section.
Look at the cock-ups.
And then leave. But, oh, right, so he has died. Oh,
pretty sure.
Oh, it's a shame. I do miss sitting in my living room and seeing him saunter past.
Yeah.
Oh, he's gone.
I missed this.
Oh, hang on, I shot him. Oh, that was it. That's why.
Yeah, he died in 2018.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, so it wasn't that long ago.
He was very old, though.
Yeah, no, he was. Yeah, how many years young?
He was 96.
Years young. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, as I say, yeah, I used to see him a lot. I've been in my flat for 12 years now, and I used to watch him almost daily go do his little run. Yeah.
Aww.
Oh, bless him. Anyway, he gets to be in this film now, which is good.
Yeah. I think the Cannon and Ball run
is better. Yeah. And I don't think there should have been a Cannon and Ball run. It should have been a Cannon and Ball run 2, but there shouldn't have been the first one.
No.
That's never explained.
Yeah.
And we've cast it better. It's going to be funnier.
Yeah.
And I'm going to green light this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the budget?
I imagine it's about 20 quid worth of Argos vouchers
mm-hmm.
and a coupon from the pools. Spot the ball. Oh, cross me legs then. Am I in it? No, Sid, you're not in this film, actually.
You're dead.
Oh, that's a shame. That's a real shame. Never mind. Bye, Sid.
Should we ask you some questions again?
Yeah, again, I know. It's a bit weird, but I'm happy to answer them.
Okay, so, Paul, who was the best, Arnie or Sly?
I think last time I said Sly, didn't I? Because he had more range. I'm going to stick with Sly.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason, and I think this is a rumour that I heard from a friend of mine in the late 90s that is obviously bullshit, but it's stuck in my head. I once heard a rumour that Sly Stallone, when he was filming in London, or he was filming in the UK, decided to buy the interior of the TARDIS, including the console, because he was such a fan, and moved it to LA. And I don't know if I've dreamt it or made it up or someone told me, but in the back of my head, I've always gone, well, if Sly Stallone has done that, then he's a fine, fine figure of a man.
You should tweet him and ask him.
And I know it's bullshit, but if the idea that he might have done it is good enough for me, and that's what tips him over.
Oh, I hope he's done that.
I could just imagine him at home.
Imagine if he's got one of those, you know, those guys that turn their living rooms...
He's got Davidson's TARDIS interior, and he's just there fiddling around with it.
You know, the people turn their living rooms into the Enterprise Bridge?
Yeah.
I'm like hoping his living room is the TARDIS.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
It'd be amazing. I don't think he did.
He's got William Hartnell in the telly. Oh, so you're my replacement, are you? A big, muscly prick.
A side of beef and an arsehole.
What's the best action movie of all time?
Derek Jarman's Blue. It's very good. A lot of violence in that. But the blood is blue, so you can't really see it. But it's very violent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Full of action.
Well, terrorists are taking over a skyscraper. You can take three celebrities with you to stop them. Who are you taking up the shard and why?
Okay, well, this time I'm taking one person, but I'm cloning them.
All right.
So I'm cloning Chris Searle from BBC's In at the Deep End, because I think this is a perfect situation for him to do the show about.
Yeah.
So I'm here now with terrorists, and let's see how he deals with it. He's got three attempts, because there's three versions of him. That's quite good. So I think I'm going to clone Chris Searle and just see. Chris, you're in at the deep end. Deal with it.
Mm.
Yeah, so the first one, he gets killed.
Yeah.
Second one, maybe he kills one and gets killed.
Yeah.
By the end, he's destroyed them.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, looks like I finally found out how to deal with them. He's wiping the blood off him. Anyway, see you next week, where I'll be doing porn. End theme, whatever that was. Can't remember the theme. In at the deep end, baby.
It's the guy who does Homes Under the House.
Ah! Fuck me, I saw a bit of that yesterday. It was bloody awful.
You can go back in time, talking of which, and stop someone being born. Who is it? Much like Desert Island Discs, I'm giving you Hitler.
Okay, well, last year I ordered a microwave off Amazon, and it was delivered by a guy from Yodel, and I'd like to kill him, please.
Why?
I'll tell you for why. Mm. I waited 9 days for the microwave to turn up. He turned up, knocked on the door, and as he handed over this huge box, I could hear shattered glass inside. And I went, I think it's broken. And he went, yeah. I went, well, I'm not going to take it. And he went, well, nothing to do with me. I went, well, no, it is to do with you. I opened the box. Sure enough, the window all smashed. And I said, well, can you take it back? He said, no, I don't do returns. And I went, but... Well, what have I got to do? Oh, you've got to ring them up and they'll send you a return box and a sticker. Right, okay. So I waited another week. Had to take this fucking thing to a post office. Send it. A week? No, not a week. 10 days later, the same fucker turns up. And I shit you not, I'm not making this up. He hasn't got a box with a microwave in it. He's turned up with a lamp. Literally, here you go. And I'm like, what's this? He went, your re-delivery. Said I was expecting a microwave. I didn't order a fucking lamp. Why have you given me a lamp? Is there a mix-up? No, it's just your lamp. I'm like, no, you have to return it. Don't do returns. So I had to do it again.
Oh, my God.
Send it back to the post office. Eventually, third time, he comes around with the microwave, same guy. The whole process took nearly 5 weeks.
Oh, my God,
so
for a microwave.
That fucker from Yodel is who I want. I want him dead.
All right.
I want him dead.
All right.
Also kind of liked him. Because just for the pure...
Respect.
Because he was literally... He could have been a perfect 60s stockpile character. Just, nothing to do with me. Don't shoot the messenger. You know, he sat there, you know, fag hanging out of his mouth with a stupid little pork pie hat on.
Dick Emery.
Yeah, he's, oh, no, it wouldn't be Emery, because he'd be like... Mm, be all lewd, wouldn't he?
But he used to do the old men, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Whack, whack, whack on
the
end.
He used to do all that. He used to do the thing with Roy Kinnear, wouldn't it? They were like bother boys.
Yeah.
Something. All right, Dad.
I've done it again,
yeah,
Dad.
It was awful.
I hated it.
Have you ever watched any Emery?
Yes.
Because, again, rose-tinted things with Emery. Yeah. The only bits were funny were the tiny little voxy pops where it was just, oh, you are awful, but
and
I like you.
Trip over himself.
And the rest is studio-based sketches that last for 15 to 20 minutes that go nowhere and are just fucking so interminably dull. And I think his show ran for like 12 series.
Mm.
Just endless, endless.
Yeah, thankfully, God. Old age and disease got there and we weren't spared any more Dick Emery. A hypothetical fist fight takes place between Rocky Balboa and John Matrix and Commando. Who wins?
I'm going to say Arnie wins. I think I said Arnie before because he persuade. Anyway, the reason is that because Arnie in Commando has access to weaponry, whereas Rocky doesn't. And Rocky, I don't think he's not supposed to be the most intelligent of guys. He's a blue collar working class hero, but I don't think he's very clever. And I think at any point Arnie could just. Like hand him a grenade and say, "Take this metal pineapple," and Rocky would probably eat it and then blow up or something stupid.
I like that.
Yeah, that's how he'd do it.
Okay, if you had to make your own 80s action movie, what would it be about? Who would be the lead? What would it be called?
And who is the amazing guy who does posters after he hears this?
Oh, James Marshall.
Wow, because you're great, sir. Because your last one you did was amazing. So thank you. So here's your new one. it's sci-fi. Dystopian. It's called Zoo on a Train. It's not a sequel to Snakes on a Plane.
No.
It's a zoo on a train. Now, the year is 2121, and all animal life has been destroyed because of bastard, bastard, bastard man. The last surviving creatures are now housed in a zoo on a train that travels across America, showing its citizens the once beautiful creatures that lived on our planet. So it literally is a travelling circus of zoo animals.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. However, when the train passes to, let's just say, a chemical gas cloud, something happens. The animals become rabid. They become insane. They break loose from their cages on board this train. Now, there's a new zookeeper who's been put on the train to look after them, played by Vin Diesel. And there's a newly appointed vet, bit wet behind the ears, played by Justin Statham. And they have to take these animals down, but not put them down, because they're the only ones left alive. So they have to basically beat the shit out of animals, but not kill them. Highlights, I think, is probably the fight scene with the rabid tapir and the buffet car. And there's a really good manta ray in the chemical toilet, which gets a few laughs. Written by Luke Goss, directed by Charles Dance. First film he's ever done. Now, the tagline in America, and I think this is pretty good, to preserve life, he must make them extinct. Except you're not allowed to do that. And then I thought, if it was released in the UK, they'd have a different tagline. And the tagline would be,
We regret to inform passengers there's a cow on the tracks. And he's got a gun!
So two posters, please.
Zoo on a train.
I love that.
I like it too.
Yeah.
I'd watch that.
Yeah.
For about 5 minutes.
I want to see a cow with a gun.
I want to see a cow holding
really
a gun
do.
With a hoof.
And by the way, when you said Justin Statham, you meant Jason Statham.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's Justin Statham?
I don't know.
Oh. No, I want Justin Statham.
His brother.
He's relatively unknown, but he's very good.
I'm imagining he looks like Jason, but he's got like a blonde quiff.
No, he's got a massive head of hair. But like really long, beautiful locks.
Mm.
Got almost down to the floor.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Paul, we've done it.
We have, sir.
We've completed the Cannonball Run.
We are completionists. I'm so glad we did this.
Yeah. And thank you for coming back.
Oh, you're welcome. Should we go to the pub now?
Yeah.
Hooray!
Goodbye.
Bye.
Wonder why can't I move that fast to get to where I'm going? I just can't wait to get to you, cause girl, you know just what we'll do. So much love for you, it's overflowing. I gave you a license to drive me up the wall. I just can't shake this spell that your love keeps me under. The way you weave your magic, your brown eyes say it all. I look at you and feel the thunder. Ooh, it hits me like a cannonball.
Hello and welcome to the Musical Podcast. I'm Kiri.
And I'm Jade.
And I'm Dave.
Dave's on keys. But we don't play that too much because otherwise we'll have to pay some people rights money.
Yeah. We do a live show where comedians come and sing their favourite musical theatre songs in front of a live audience. This podcast
is us bringing that person inside of a building.
Welcome to Just a Minute with Jade Adams.
I panicked.
Enjoy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.